All right, Galatians chapter 3. I think we closed last time at 14, verse 14, and then we're going to start at 15. Brethren, chapter 3, 15. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. In other words, I'm speaking so that you can understand. I'm going to refer to something that you understand as men. I wish I could call you spiritual, but you've fallen away foolishly from the simplicity of the gospel. That is the problem in our day also, is that people who began with the Lord have actually fallen away. And that's easy to do. It's so good that people are determined to make it not. They're determined to upside down it and cause the gospel to become the law again. So anybody can turn the gospel into a law. Anybody. They can do it. It's my calling, my purpose, the reason I live, is to do the opposite, to turn the law into the gospel, or to preach again the simplicity of the gospel. And actually, when Martin Luther discovered the gospel by reading the original Greek text, which almost no one in Europe at that time was able to read Hebrew or Greek, but because of the Enlightenment, what they called at that time humanism, because of the humanistic scholarship even in the church, some were beginning to say, let's go back to the original text. Let's go back to the simplicity of the word. And many had wanted that for centuries, but they didn't know how to get back there. So the Muslims helped out very much, like in our day. The Muslims are definitely into the law. You become a Muslim or we chop your head off. That's kind of clear. That's very clear. They're not at all messing around, fooling with kind of hypocritical religion. They believe if you don't keep the law, you're out. Since Muhammad is considered their prophet, we're doing a favor to you. Either accept Muhammad or you're out. And so instead of waiting around for that, we'll just chop your head off. And that induces people then to decide for, yeah, I believe in Muhammad. So you can't tell if they believe in him because they want to live physically or if they want to really be one of his followers. So they just, in cases of doubt, just chop the head off. That way you don't have to worry about it. It's very simple, very clean. Unfortunately, it's not the truth. Unfortunately, the gospel is so good that the law is no longer the issue. The gospel is so good that the law is no longer the issue.
Amen.
I don't think anyone would disagree with what I just said. No Christian. Nevertheless, pastors have an ability to preach the gospel in such a way that it becomes a law. It's like I don't know how they do it. It's a real art to be able to turn something so plain and simple into something so complex. And the reason they do it is because people hate freedom. I want to say it again because that was a strong statement. People would rather be slaves so they can have an excuse for the reason that their life is a mess and say, well, you know, what could we do? And so anything but to worship God. Did you know that worship of God is a miracle? If you can worship God, that's a miracle. But it's easy for me. It is so easy for me. Why? Because the good news is good news. Anybody would be thankful to hear good news, especially, and in my case particularly, if you had no good news without it, especially if you didn't deserve be given a free gift. And I never did. I never did. I never even tried. I never even made an effort. That's sad, but I didn't. And I was glad that I didn't. But to people that see the contrast, the opposite, between a law and a gospel, between something you're supposed to do and something God has already done, I don't know. To me, that is so clear. It's like, wow, the Christianity has nothing to do with keeping God's law.
Amen.
It has to do with God keeping his law.
Amen.
That's so simple.
Hallelujah.
It's so simple.
Amen.
Judah, just don't get mixed up on this. You behaving has nothing to... I want you to behave. But I didn't want you to behave without Jesus. And if you behave, you've actually denied God's gospel. You've built the Tower of Babel again. You anything that you do, and the only thing you can do is build the Tower of Babel. In other words, some kind of nonsense about how great you are, how good you are, how moral, how religious. God hates all that. Hates. It's a stench in his nostrils because you did it. He wanted to do everything. He's a good father. He's a good father. He wants to do everything for the child. He doesn't want the child to do anything for him. Now, Dad, what do I have to do to please you? Well, a good parent says nothing. You're my daughter. You're my son. It's like, that's it. I don't know if I'm...
Praise the Lord.
At least Alex gets it. Praise God.
That's good news.
To me, the good news is that there is no bad news.
Hallelujah.
The good news is that there isn't any bad news. You cannot show me one scripture, one, that is bad news. I can turn any look like bad news into an actual good news.
Amen.
I have that, I don't know, I have that ability. It's rare, but it shouldn't be. It should be common. Every pastor should be able to turn any law into good news. And I can. I can read exactly what the law says and turn it into its opposite.
Glory to God.
It's written, and God knows when he wrote it. He knows when he wrote it that people would misunderstand it. That's why he called pastors like me to give a better explanation, that it's the opposite, upside down to what you're thinking. It's actually good news. So the bad news is actually good news.
Praise the Lord.
Actually, it's only written for sinners. You have to be a sinner. And fortunately, there are a few that are. And so I'll never run out of business. I mean, regardless of how unpopular I may
Amen.
Appear, I have the good news. And that's all I'm supposed to have. It's good news. I don't have any bad news for anybody.
Amen.
Even for people that keep the law. Or try to keep the law, or say they keep the law. I have good news for them. You didn't. You didn't. You just built the Tower of Babel.
That's right.
You just recreated confusion. You just stumbled at the stumbling block. Because this thing is so good that no flesh can believe it. I mean, there isn't anybody's flesh that can believe it. Your flesh either wants to behave or misbehave. As though there was something to do. Unless the Lord build the house, they that labor in vain. Unless the Lord build the house, they that labor in vain. Psalm 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord build the house.
Praise
what
Lord.
Can you build? A Tower of Babel. That's your house. A house of bondage. So if you want to build something, it'll be vain. It'll be worthless. It'll be nothing. So you can behave or misbehave, but you didn't do a thing. Absolutely, you did nothing. Because unless the Lord build the house, he's talking about his own house. Unless the Lord build a house of worship, they that worship him must worship him, Jesus said, in spirit
and
in truth. Well, most Christians believe they're doing that just by going to church. But that's a law. You don't have to go to church. There's no law. The reason we gather together is free. And we do it because it's the Lord's day. But you know what? There's no law. You don't have to come to church on Sunday. You could actually have it on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You could have it any day in the week or every day of the week or no day of the week. Wouldn't make any difference. The point is that worship has nothing to do with what day it is. For me, every day is a day of worship. I'm always happy, thankful, confident, no fear. Yet most people live in fear. Most people are anxious, stressed. I am a non-stress person. I don't have any stress. Why would I have any stress? I never was any good, so I have no illusions about getting a reward or people liking me or something. I have no illusion about that. I don't want people to like me. Golly. Jacob, that would just be a problem, Judah.
Too late.
Too late? Some people like me? Oh. Now that's a gift. You see, that's a gift. It's completely a gift. Because it has nothing to do with anything. I'll tell you, the only thing good about me is I have good news. Jesus loves you. This I know. For the Bible tells you so. So the littlest kid can get it. Little bitty kids can get it, and adults cannot get it. They'll turn it. I don't care what you tell them, they'll turn it into bad news. I'm not mad at them for doing that. Do it away. But I'm just not going to do it that way. I'm going to do it the Texan way. Just a horseshoe is a horseshoe. That's it.
That's
good
it.
News is good news.
Amen.
The rest is dung.
Hallelujah.
You know, you can look at a cow patty and do that dung. You know, that's it.
Yeah.
Texans know that.
Yeah.
The rest of the United States today is believing something else. They really are. I mean, I'm not picking on Hillary, but she's trying so hard to be good, and she's not exactly succeeding. But she's just trying to be, you know, I mean, the evidence is 100% against her, but she refuses to just be cowed. You know, she won't. She won't. She's going to do something helpful for everybody. Make us into a village. That's another Tower of Babel.
Yeah. Right.
I feel bad for our politicians who are trying so hard to be decent and saviors and helpers. Unless the Lord build the house, I don't care what kind of house it is, your personal house, your family house, your church house, your economic house, your political house, your social house, unless the Lord build the house, whatever kind of house. He didn't say what kind of house. Unless the Lord build the house, he didn't say what kind. So any kind of house. Unless the Lord build, they that labor, labor in vain. Amen. So the Lord's a builder, and he is building a house. It's his house. But it's his house on earth for sinners to come in and be saints. The minute you go into the house of the Lord, you don't have any more bondage. You don't have any more burdens. You have no more chains, no more guilt, no more worry, no more care. I don't know. It's too good. Come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden. I'll give you rest. It's a trade. You got labor. You got, you know, pressure on you. You got, you know, burdens to lift. I'll give you rest. I'll just give it to you. I'll just give it to you. You won't earn it. I'll give it to you. You don't have to do anything for it. It's already been done. It was done 6,000 years ago before there even was a world. That's when Jesus was crucified. I don't know if you know that. Not on Calvary 2,000 years ago, but 6,000 years ago. 1,000 years before that. Before there was a world. Before there was any kind of creation at all. The whole world's built around Jesus. I know that sounds ridiculous because it's not a self-evident truth. Nobody could prove that. It's just a revealed truth of God, but you don't have to believe it. And it's okay with me that people don't. I'm not mad at people that go, I don't believe that. Well, you're smart, you know, humanly, but you're foolish, divinely. So, no, it's okay. But I'm going to tell you the good news anyway. And I'm living it. I'm living it. I'm happy all the time. Ever since I met Jesus, I don't mean just heard about him, but actually met him personally ever since. that time. My life has been one joy after another. He has turned everything around. I never did a lick of work to help him. I've never made any effort whatsoever. And this is what's offensive about me, is I'm just happy for no good reason. I don't have any reason for it. It's just the revelation. Revelation and reason aren't the same. Revelation, reason is something I have to try to understand the world and God and me and you and so on. That's okay. And so there are lots of gods out there and so on. But revelation is not common. Revelation is when God takes the initiative and God starts talking to you personally. And you hear him, and I don't know how, but you just know that's God. That's God. Amen. That's God. He likes me. This is strange. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Hallelujah.
That's just it. You want to know what God's good pleasure is? Not that you keep the law. Not that you behave. Not that you have great understanding. Not anything that you can do. You can't do this with your reason or your emotions or your, you know, desires and so on and so forth. You can't get anywhere there. You can only build the Tower of Babel. But beyond that foolish thing of trying to build something without God, America is nothing without God. They take God away and there's nothing. So we have politicians today and media and whatever. They never mention God because they don't want to, because he's useless to them. He's irrelevant. And that's fine with me, because I'm living in a different world than they are. I'm not living in the same world they're living in. I'm in the world, of course, physical in the world. But I'm not part of it. I have a totally different, happy disposition all the time. I've always got good news for my enemies, for people that hate me, despise me, abuse me, misuse me. Go for it. If God be for me, who can be against me?
Amen.
Who can stop me? If God favors me, Bonnie, if God favors me, who can change that or make him not like me so much or whatever? You can't do it. You can't change his word. I got it. Now, I'm not amazing. I'm an ordinary nothing person, just like everybody else. And I went to school and so on. But all you learn in school is how to lie better and say yes and no at the same time and so on. So if that's what TCU and SMU and all the U's do, they just teach you how to be clever. And I know all the biggest words, and I could make a lot of money and be successful and famous and so on, because I have lots of degrees and lots of smarts. And I can read anything. I can just read the first paragraph of a book and know the whole book. I'm super, super smart. And I do. I read every day. I read all the time. And so I read the most ridiculous things. I read anything. Because I like to learn what man knows, which is nothing. It's nothing. Until I, you know, with all the degrees and all that stuff. And I was good at it. I was A++. I was not just an A. I was +++. And languages and blah, blah, blah. You got to have all that. All those tools. But once you have them, what good are they unless they lead you to God? And so all my training and learning and so on just teaches me, you know, that I can't love Peggy, but Jesus in me can. That's so powerful. I could even love Bonnie and Peggy and also Roxy all at the same time. And Willis, which is miraculous. And it's amazing how much you can do with Jesus. Apart from me, you can do
nothing.
Nothing. But in me, through me, by me, you can do
all things.
Oh, that is amazing. Those two things don't sound the same, but they are. They're the same. They're saying the same exact thing. With me, you can do everything. But without me, you can do nothing. They're actually the same. So I can do and I can't do both. Apart from you, I can do nothing. I can do nothing. But with you, by you, according to my relationship. Relationship always precedes performance. Okay? Everybody else is into performance and marketing and, you know, showing off and proving something. I'm not. I'm into just enjoying, celebrating. I'm totally into, thank you, Jesus, it's all over. Everything's finished. It's been finished ever since I met Jesus. I found the pearl of great price, sold everything I had. That's it. I'm now totally happy. I don't need any money. I don't need any friends. I don't need any understanding. I don't need anything. I don't have to do anything about anything.
Jesus.
I'm totally relaxed, stress-free, worry-free. I don't ever get sick. I don't. I think worry must create a lot of sickness, stress, pressure, fear, guilt. I don't have any of that stuff. I wish I could take all of yours. I wish I could take all of Cynthia's guilt and fear, anxiety. But I'd like to trade it for peace and joy and love. And this is so fun. I have fun. I can go anywhere in the world with any people, my biggest enemies, and have a blast. Why? Because I don't have an agenda. I don't have an agenda, not of my own. I just have Jesus as good news.
Amen.
To people.
Amen.
Hey, you can be anything you want to be. I love you. That is, Christ in me loves you. But I don't have to explain that. I can say I love you. I don't have to explain it. I love you. And they can tell, even if I didn't say it, because they can tell I don't have any fear in me, or I'm not discomfortable, or, you know, uncomfortable. I just totally can be a jerk or an idiot or say nothing. I can do nothing. I can be in the presence of somebody and not do a thing because I'm not a performer. Because relationship precedes performance. Yeah. And if anything comes out, that was Jesus. And if nothing comes out, that was Jim. So it's kind of simple. And he forgives the, you know, sin part, and I praise him for his good part.
Amen.
So if it comes out, if somebody says, thank you. No, I didn't do anything. That was Jesus. I mean, if something happened, then how would I know if it did or not? But if something happened, thank Jesus. Amen. Don't thank me. I don't live for thanks. I don't live for praise. I don't live for recognition. I don't live for, you know, being acknowledged or something. I don't care that I'm a piece of nothing to people. I don't care. Jesus loves me. This I know. Willis, you get this, Willis.
Yes.
It's too powerful. Because it's totally undeserved. You and me and Hugo, maybe also Raul, and probably Jacob, definitely Alex.
Definitely.
We are idiots and fools and so on and so forth. But God loves us.
Amen.
And you know, the funny thing is, I'm taking that. I'm taking that.
Amen.
I'm taking that. Andrew, did you know that Jesus loves you just the way you are? He knows all your thoughts. He knows all your desires. He knows you get mad sometimes. And he knows all that stuff. He doesn't care. He loves you. That's so amazing. We're not used to that kind of a God. We're used to a God that wants you to do something, perform something, behave yourself. I don't believe in behavior. Behavioral modification. That's what education is all about. It's not about learning today, you know, when did George Washington chop down the cherry tree. It's not about facts or dates or events and so on and so forth. And so they just want you to feel good or something or other. I don't know what they want. Whatever they want, it's nonsense. But what they want those little kids to do is behave, and they don't discipline them with a stick. When I was in school, they did. So you didn't want to go to the principal's office, because if you went there, it was usually, almost all, and in my case, always, to get a whipping. And they didn't spare the rod. They didn't spoil the child. And I wasn't afraid of it. I just didn't like it. I don't know why I didn't. I never liked spankings. I didn't cotton to them.
Hallelujah.
I just didn't. So, and I was a clown, I guess. I was always in the back row or something, doing. doing something wrong you weren't supposed to do. And it was fun. I felt good about it. I liked it. And the other kids, for the most part, I'm sure the nicer ones didn't, but for the most part, they thought I was funny or I did something. I might burp in class or do something stupid or whatever. I still have some of those habits now. It'll just come to me and I'll just do it. It has nothing to do with Jesus. It's just Jim. Have you ever just been yourself?
Yes.
It's embarrassing for Peggy. It is. It's terribly embarrassing because I have no filter, like they say. So they just blurt stuff out or say stuff or do stuff. And it's not Christian at all. There's no Jesus in it. But I'm having a good time. Because I can be me. And God loves me. Just the way I am. Just as I learned this song a long time ago. Just as I am without one plea. You know, just like a little kid. I don't have a plea. I don't have anything that to defend myself or explain myself. And I don't want to. I don't want to. I don't want to explain what I did. Too bad. Whatever I get, I get. Whatever you want to do, go ahead. So, people don't like people like that because they're uncontrollable. They're out of control. They can just, you never know when I'm going to go berserk.
Amen.
You know, you never know what he's going to say or do. Amen? And I've never been. From the time I was born, came forth, my mother, grandmother, and aunt, they had a saying that was World War II, right at the beginning of World War II, when Hitler was just conquering Czechoslovakia and Poland and all those places. They would say, they had a cartoon in the paper, and I've seen it. And everybody's marching, you know, like soldiers do, you know, they're marching. And then this one soldier is doing the opposite of everybody else. He's like out, completely out of step. And the mother says to the father of that boy, "Everybody's out of step except my son Jim." That actually is what it says in the cartoon. And that's always been true of me. I'm totally out of step with everybody. But everybody else is out of step. I'm okay. And my mother noticed that. Everybody's out of step except our son, Jim. And she said that to her husband. He was like, he's the only one, you know. But when people clap and they put their hands together, like David Halverson, he's awesome. He can just keep rhythm. It's on, not me. I'm clapping opposite to everybody else. I'm trying to get it, but I just can't. I just can't chew gum and rub my tummy at the same time. I just can't. I don't know. So, it doesn't bother me because Jesus loves me. This I know.
Amen.
I'm not a people pleaser because I don't want to. I don't want to please people. It's too much work. It takes some thought and some effort to think about other people. I just don't want to do it. So if I ever do, it's a miracle. Peggy used to always ask me, "What are you thinking?" I just wouldn't answer because I don't think you want to know. Because what I'm thinking is either completely frivolous and worthless. Because I think about the dumbest things. Like, if I were God or the mayor, I wouldn't have telephone poles above the ground. And I'm always thinking of stupid stuff. But I'm impressed with it. I'm always fixing signs that are crooked or pictures that aren't straight on your wall. I'll just walk up. I can't have a picture not be completely parallel with the ceiling or the floor. So if it's crooked, I'll go up and change it. Yeah, that's all right now. And so the other day I did it at your house, and it fell. I was trying to straighten out. You had a couple of things right there on the wall.
Yeah.
And I tried to straighten it out. Thank goodness for your daughter's friend. He went, "Oh, that happens all the time." Put it back up crooked. Put it back up crooked. He just took the pin out and put it back in and put it on and hung it. But I can't just sit there and not go over and change that. That's not straight. So everybody's out of step except our son, Jim. I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about you. I don't really care about myself. I don't want anything. I don't need anything. I don't have two agendas. I only have one agenda, Jesus. Yes. I don't have two agendas. And I don't mind misunderstanding. When people misunderstand me, I admire them. I mean, that's clever that you could take something I said that's so simple and twist it into something opposite. I think that's clever. I'm always amazed that people can twist good news and make it bad news. Take the gospel and turn it into the law. I'm always amazed how they can do it. But everybody likes it. They hate being free. They hate being, you know, out of step. Did y'all see that? What is education but behavioral modification? It's just getting everybody to be in step. Color in the lines, you know. Put your name at the top of the paper. I remember that in first grade. Get it right up in the right-hand corner. I don't think they do it like this anymore. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. But when we were there, they made you make circles, and they had to be perfect circles, and you had to do, you know, 1,000 of them, little kid. You had to do 1,000 of them until you got that circle perfect. Couldn't have a little, you know, missing like that. It had to be exact. And we had to write lowercase and uppercase and all that stuff. We used to rehearse it over and over and over again. They wanted you to definitely know how to write legibly and how to spell words and look them up in the dictionary. I remember that. I remember they called it the Look It Up Club. And so they came in and taught us that if you don't know a word, go to the dictionary. And they had a big dictionary in the classroom. And you could go over and look at it. And that was, look it up. Yes. If you don't know, look it up. Okay. You don't have to always ask the teacher. Just go look it up. And so you were allowed to get up out of your seat and go to the dictionary and look it up. I remember that. And I'm still doing it. I have 30, 40,000 books. I don't know how many. I don't even know how many I have, but I have a lot of books. I have room after room after room. Peggy hates it because there's no house. It's just a library. It's as big as a library. It's huge. But every room is a library, and even a shed out back that I built is a library. And I've run out. The attic is full of books and everything. It's loaded with books. But I like to look it up. I look everything up. But now that I have the Bible, all I really need is the Bible. You could burn all my books. I don't want anybody to, because I've written in all my books. You cannot sell them, because I've written over everything to say, bah, ugh, you know, or yahoo, evil, good. And so but I really rewrite the book while I'm reading it. I rewrite it, nonsense, and then I write what I think. And so my books are fascinating. But only to, you know, my own kids or somebody who wanted to look at them someday. Because I disagree with everybody.
Right.
Because everybody's out of step except me. So I just go, that is foolish. What an illusion. Naive. Idealist. You know, I just write stuff like that. But ugh is one of my stronger ones. Ugh. I don't buy that at all. I point out the fallacy. The fallacies that people make. They make circular reasoning, you know, they do all kinds of silly things. I write that in the books because I feel that everybody should be intelligent. Everybody should know something. You should be educated somehow so that you know how foolish man is.
Amen.
And how nobody pays attention. It doesn't bother me. I'm paying attention. And I read you, body language, words you say. I remember the order. I don't not pay attention. So I'm very well aware that people didn't raise their hands when everybody's got their hand raised and somebody's down here like this. I read that. I notice all those kind of little things. or you got, you know, food on your mouth, or I just read all that stuff. I love it when people are inattentive. I just notice that with people. They're just inattentive. And then there are some that are just glued to you. I like those kind of people, totally glued to everything that cometh forth out of my mouth, because I don't want to hear anything except Jesus. I just want to hear how great, I just want to go over every time we gather together how good God is. I don't care how bad people are, or how foolish they are, or something. Just how good God is. How good God is. All right, so let's look at verse 15. Galatians 3:15, brethren, I speak to you after the manner of men. I'm just going to talk like a person. Though it be but a man's covenant, agreement, contract, yet if it be, though it be but a man's covenant, a contract, an agreement, a piece of paper, or it could be oral. It doesn't have to be written. You can make a covenant with somebody just by saying some words. I'll be there. That's a covenant. Or a contract. Or an agreement. Or a promise. There's all kinds of things. Sometimes it's mutual. If you do this, I'll do that. Sometimes it's one-sided. I will do that. Or you need to do that. Okay. But so that's an agreement that somebody else agrees to. For example, I agreed to be a pastor and never to teach my own junky stuff, but just to teach the truth of God. And that's what I do. I don't care about pay. I don't care about any... I don't have a different agenda. It's like, well, I need that plus. I don't need anything. Because the Bible says you don't need anything. So I don't need anything. If it says I don't, I don't. It says if you have me, you got everything. If you have Jesus Christ, did you know that he freely gives you all things? If you have Jesus, you actually get everything. So I like that, because all I have to do is get Jesus, and then I get everything. But I don't know how to make that happen. I just believe it. I don't need to see it to believe it. So I have everything. So I'm always content. I'm always happy. Randy, that's a powerful thing. Because I got Jesus, I got everything. Amen. I don't need to see it or experience it or anything. I don't need to check it out to see if I have everything. I just believe I do. Well, I do. And so as far as I'm concerned, I do. Everybody else is limited by their reason or their emotions or by their desires and imaginations and so on. I'm not limited. Whatever God says, that's it. I have an authority in my life that trumps every authority in this world. I believe the world is black and white. It's totally black and white. You either are building your own kingdom or God's. And since you can't build God's, only God can build God's house. If he builds, unless the Lord builds the house, they that labor, labor in vain. Well, I can't build God's house, but then I don't want to build my own, because my own is worth nothing. So I let him do everything. I have like a parent up in heaven, and he takes care of all my needs. I don't need to worry about clothing or food or lodging or anything. Friends, good marriage. I don't work. I don't. Peggy can tell you, I don't work for a good marriage. I'm not trying to make it a good marriage. So I'm very successful at being a failure. I'm very successful at that because I never work at anything. I never make an effort to do anything. Now, you're taught the opposite. Everybody here who grew up in a normal family, but I didn't. If you grew up in a normal family, you have expectations that people should love you. I don't have that. I don't think anyone should love me. I don't want anyone to love me. If they do, it's a miracle. I had nothing to do with that. Now, I secretly believe, but I'm now publishing it, that Peggy loves me. But I can't get her to always say that. What about you, Hugo? Yeah, Roxy loves you. She's silly. I know. But, you know, she made her choice.
Yeah.
She made her choice. Amen. It's too bad for her. She is a fool. But it's great knowing that you can be comfortable in a marriage where you're not performing. Right. Where you don't deserve to be loved back or to be loved at all. So I don't want people to adulate me or regard me or pay attention to me or anything. If God builds a house, I let him do it. I'm not going to do his part. I got that down right away. I read it in the book that God does everything. Okay, let him do it. So Jacob, I never worry about getting something because I don't need anything. I got God. If you have God, you don't need anything. I know people hate that because they do want God plus. They do want something other than God. I want God plus money. I want God plus a good marriage. I want God plus, you know, a nice job or a nice home or plus a new air conditioner when the old one breaks. I don't need anything. I don't care. If I have nothing, I'm happy because I got God. So I believe I have everything.
Amen.
You all happy like I am?
Yes.
Now, it's a miracle if anybody is. By the way, I don't expect anyone to agree with me because everybody's out except me. I don't really care that anybody else gets it because I'm doing fine. That guy was just going by his own tune. You know, he had his own tune. You know, he wasn't playing anybody else's tune. And I tell you, I'm not in with the world today, wherever it is. I'm always going to be the opposite. If I was a Republican, I could look over and admire the Democrats. But if I was a Democrat, I could look over and admire the Republican. In other words, whatever group I'm in, I'm going to see flaws. I'm going to see problems in it. So I can't be one of those dyed-in-the-wool persons as though I'm not paying attention. Republicans sin just as much, equally, as Democrats.
Amen.
Or libertarians, or whatever. I don't believe any of the groups. I don't have any faith in any of the groups, because I don't see it in the Bible. I should love everybody, but I shouldn't agree with everybody. I can love them, but I don't have to, you know, agree with what they're doing.
Amen.
I can tolerate them, but I don't have to tolerate their sin, or their folly. And it says in the Bible, if you follow Jesus, you're going to be hated. Anyone who lives a godly life will be persecuted. I'm into that. I mean, I signed up for that. Jim, if you join my team, you will be hated and despised and misunderstood and persecuted. Okay. All right. So I'm into that.
Amen.
And sure enough, I've been persecuted and hated and despised. And I love it. I love it. Good. Do it. People have accused and did that. Yeah, let them. It doesn't. It's nothing. It's nothing. I'm totally happy still. I'm the same as I was before. So Peggy's behavior doesn't. It has no impact on me whatever. I'm just sometimes amazed that she'll say something like, "I really, really am glad I married you." It's always amazing to me. I wasn't expecting that. It just comes from left field. It's like, oh, really? Can I count on that? No. She is very quick to disclaim it right afterwards. I'll probably change my mind in 2 minutes. Okay. Go. So, but every once in a while, it comes out. I think that's powerful. Raul, did you know that Jesus loves you personally?
Amen. Yes.
And you don't have to fix anything your mother didn't do, did do. You don't have to have any illusions or anything. Just the way it was. That's the way it is. Leave it. That's it. Stop trying to fix your parents or your spouse or your children. I don't mean you can't try. You should try so you realize you're just trying. You're just trying to raise somebody in the way of the Lord or something, okay, try it. Go for it. Go for it. Yeah, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Now, I'm not planting anything in Judah. I'm not. I'm just saying the truth. Because Judah's a person. And at a certain point in your life, usually about 11, they just become a person and they stop behaving. they still can behave outwardly, but inwardly they're already themselves. They want to be their own person, making their own mistakes. Have you ever noticed that about people? I'm not referring to you. You don't want to make your own mistakes. You want to make your parents' mistakes. But you know what? There's no difference. It's funny. And this is a sad thing for little kids who do rebel, because they actually turn out to marry someone just like the parent they're rebelling against. I always told that to all my girls. Dad, I'm never going to marry anybody like you. Yeah, you will. I guarantee it. You will end up marrying the very person you didn't like. And it's because they're just like me. I've had fun with my kids. Dad, you won't believe he does just like you do. Really? I thought you were marrying someone opposite to me. Well, he has some of the same habits. And I've tried to tell him not to do it. Well, I know, but he's probably stubborn like I am. He is, Dad. He is just like you. It's funny. Especially the girls. They weren't going to repeat that. And David's just like me. I mean, it's amazing. I don't think there's anything interesting about it, but it just is interesting that he's exactly like me. And Mary is such a sweet daughter-in-law. Well, it's not always sweet, but for the most part sweet. And David's just, he's very patient. He's extremely patient, just like me. Exactly like me. I mean, she can say and do anything, and he'll just go, I love you. And that's great. I do that with Peg all the time. I don't care what she does, I love her. With all my heart and all my soul and all my strength. Isn't that funny? There's not a lot of evidence for that, but still, I believe that. It's all a matter of faith.
That's right.
It's all a matter of faith.
Amen.
Y'all have a sense of humor. All right. So he said, brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, a man's contract, a man's agreement. Yet if it be confirmed, that means a covenant unconfirmed is just a wish. It's just words. You can't rely on it until it's fulfilled, until it's confirmed, until there's some evidence that the man actually paid for the machine you sold him, or whatever. Now, the easiest way is just to barter. I'll give you this if you give me that. It's a complete exchange. There's no covenant or contract there. It's over. 2 seconds. You got the money. He got the peach. You know, whatever it is. And then it's over. But business is carried on with a great deal of credit and lines of credit and stuff like that. And so it's a promise, but you don't know if they're going to fulfill it. And sometimes they sue you, and it's crazy. It's crazy. Because people are not promise keepers. Christians who belong to the promise keepers don't keep their promise. I'm going to be accountable from now on. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in accountability. Now, Pastor, I'm going to share with you everything I'm thinking and saying and doing. Don't bother. As I'm not the one you account to. Well, I need somebody real. Well, no, God is real. Well, I can't see him. He doesn't talk back. No, he talks. He can talk. God can talk.
Amen.
And he's pretty loud and clear sometimes. It's not always words, but sometimes he has his way of communicating. And so you can't be accountable to people. You only have one God. One God. One, 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 one. Now, it better be the one and true and only God. That's the one I'm doing it with. I don't want those other false gods that, and every one of them is characterized by law. Every one of them wants you to behave. Mine is the only God. I don't care about anybody else. I'm out of step with everybody else. I don't care about anybody else. My God loves me just as I am. Just as I am, without one plea. I just love that, Dan. Did you ever sing that song? 100 times. 100 times. That's a powerful song. I think we should sing that after the message here. I don't want to disturb the message right now. It's a great song. In other words, I don't have a leg to stand on. I don't have anything going for me. I don't have any witnesses or evidence or anything. I just say stuff without any backup. So I'm totally dependent on God coming through. God, I've just messed up big time. Has anybody ever been in that situation?
Oh, yeah.
God, I've really done bad right there. I don't think it's even recoverable. I don't even think you can redeem this one. But I don't have another God, so please do it. I know that's the wrong theology, but please do it. I mean, that's not good theology at all. You're supposed to be firm and believe. But sometimes I'm just desperate. God, I messed up so bad. Could you fix that? God, if you're a real God, the real, 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 real God right now, do it. Thanks. Thanks. I don't have anything to give you. I can't pay you. Just do it. Do it. Do it. Please do it. Because I'm a mess up. How many have messed up in the past? Yeah. And it's something that you can't actually, once the bell is rung, you can't unring it. You know, it's like ding, it went off, and then I don't know how to unring that thing. And even God can't fix it. I mean, there's a lot of things God doesn't do. He will not put oil in your car when you didn't put any in there. I just tell you right now, you have to do that on your own. And he won't sleep for you. You have to do that yourself. And there's a whole bunch of things that God just cannot do. I mean, he can do a lot of things. All things are possible with God. But there's some things I found he doesn't do. They just are. But then you do call on him anyway. God, I know, but please fix it. Please, just fix it. Make it like it never happened. I know it happened, but make it like it didn't. I said it. Could you get that unsaid? I didn't mean what I said. How do you know we say things that we didn't mean? And then you can't take them back. Because people are not forgiving. Even Christians. Even if they say, I forgive you, they didn't. They remember. You said. You promised. I don't believe people are promise keepers. I believe God keeps his promise. Let God be
true
and every man a liar. That kind of sums it up. The Bible has these pithy statements that are so full. They're so simple. They're so incredibly accurate. Let God be true and every man a liar. That is full of pith. That's pithy. No, it is. That is powerful. There's something powerful. I read those things. I like those little things like that. All right. Though it be but a man's covenant, agreement, promise, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulling or adding thereto. If it be confirmed, in other words, if he actually has kept that promise with nobody annulling it or changing it, well, then it stands. I mean, it's already happened. He did it. You remember Isaac was actually born? Remember, God said, in the spring. That's a promise. You see, he should have said, right now. But he didn't do it like that. He said, in the spring. So that must have been, you know, 9 months earlier or something. But in the spring, you're going to have a son, your own son, with Sarah, your number one wife. What's wrong with the other boy? He's 13 now. I know, but it's going to be a different one. It's going to be with Sarah, not Hagar. Oh. Because the son, Ishmael, whom he loved, was under a law. His mom's law. His mom's law. Egyptian law. Where you have to please the sun god Ra. And you have to do all this stuff and behave yourself. Or the Pharaoh won't give you a gold collar. You have to do something to please people. And the Pharaoh wants to be pleased. And Ra wants some stuff too. You have to pay Ra off. Ours is the only god you don't have to pay off. Ours is the only God that pays you.
Amen.
What you owe him. He gives to you what you owe him. He satisfies himself by doing what you were supposed to do, which you didn't do and couldn't do, and then he does it for you and says it's done. What? Yeah, it's over. I don't count sin anymore. Remember Jesus? Yeah. Well, when he died, you died. I did? What? Well, that doesn't make any sense. I didn't do anything. Well, you can't do it. What can you do? Tell me what you can do. Well, I can try. Oh, I know I want perfect. Under the law, got to be perfect. You shall be holy as I am holy. Shall be perfect as I am perfect. You have to be exactly like me in order to get into heaven. I can't let anybody in who's got even one sin, even one spot, one wrinkle, one anything. You got to have nothing but perfect. I can't do it. Well, okay, I did it for you. You did? Well, why didn't you tell me? I just did. I did it for you. I had Jesus live your life for you before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
You did? So, what he did before the foundation of the world is me? Yes. He did it for you. He knew you weren't going to be able to do it, so he did it for you. Well, golly. I don't think you've made that clear before. No, I haven't. I'm just telling you now. Oh, okay. Well, thank you. Ah, that's worship. Thank you that you've done everything that needed to be done. And there's nothing more to be done. So my thank you is not doing something. It's just thanking you for doing everything. So worship is not a work. It's a response to the fact that all the work's been done. And you just go, wow. So Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor. You're trying to please God or man or somebody or yourself or somebody. Whatever you're doing, stop it. It's already been done. I did it for you. I did it for you. Ah, it's all been done. Woohoo!
Amen.
He's forgiven all your sins. He's taken away the power of sin. He's perfecting you day by day. Then he's going to marry you. Then he's going to inherit, give you an inheritance that you didn't deserve. You didn't even do anything to deserve it. You did everything I told you not to do, you did it. And everything I told you to do, you didn't do it. So now I'm just going to give it to you. That doesn't make any sense. That is the craziest religion in the world. And I believe all the other religions are false. They want you to behave in order to earn God's favor. Get some merit, some chips on your side. You don't need any. Jesus did it all. And he did it for you before there even was a world. Before you were even born. Before you even knew his name. There is no other name by which we must be saved. So, if a man's covenant is once confirmed, Isaac came. That's a confirmation. And then Isaac was going to be the one from whom the Messiah would come someday. Remember his son? Isaac's son? Isaac's son? That was Jacob. Cheater. Cheater. Jacob. That's the same as Jim in English. James. You're out of step, brother. You're out of step. you're a cheater. But Jesus can change your name. And he did. He said, oh, you're no longer going to be Jacob. You're going to be Israel. He shall rule with God. In other words, with God and you working together, you'll be ruined. Well, yeah, because you can't rule right now because you do foolish stuff. But I'll teach you how to rule. If I say something, you say it. If the Father says something, I'll do what he says. And then when I say what he says, you'll say what I say. So that way the Father will be glorified. That's the glory of the Father, is to forgive you. The glory of the Father is not for you to behave. The glory of the Father is not for you to behave. The glory of the Father is not for you to behave. It's for him to behave for you. And then for him to behave in you. And then for him to behave through you. Now, that's the Father's promise. And if a man's covenant can't be annulled or changed once it's set and it's been confirmed, then it's not just a wish or a promise. It's actually done. And then you could rely on it. So he already sent Jesus. And he already died. Not 4,000 years before that, but 2,000 years ago. That's 6,000 years. He did it then. But now it showed up 2,000 years ago. And guess what? It'll show up again. What God hath begun, he will surely finish. So if a man's covenant, if a man's contract or agreement is worth nothing, well, then God's might be. But God says, no, his is actually the real thing. And he confirmed it. Now you can't change it. See, once a testator dies, the will is now in effect. Even though it was written. There's a written will somewhere. But it could be burned up or lost. Or there's all kinds of things can happen. And then there's nothing to go by. And a will, it can say you're my heir and so on and so forth. But it could be changed. As long as the testator's alive, let's say the child dies before the parent. It doesn't get anything. Of course. But for the minute, the one that made the testation, the testator, happens, the minute he dies, it's now in effect. And you can't change it. You can't say, go back and alter it or modify it or amend it. No. Now it's solid. So once it's confirmed by the blood, it's over. Not by his birth, by his death. Yes. Now all of a sudden, wow, whatever's in there is now solid. You've been sealed with the Holy Ghost. When a covenant or a contract is sealed, that means nobody can open it until it's confirmed or done. You see, you can't change it's sealed, so you can't change the writing in there. You can't change any of the terms. And since God promised to forgive you all your sins, and then to take away all your sins, and then to perfect you, and then to marry you, and then to give you the inheritance, you can't change that. You cannot change that. And since this is not just a covenant, but it's a special one made by God, you can't change the terms. If God says he loves you, he loves you. He can't say, now if she grows up and is, you know, a drunkard, she doesn't get anything. You can't do that. It all depends on the terms. You can't, but once she's dead, the one that made it, and that's it. You can't change the terms. So you can't make God be mean. He loves you. He loves you just as you are. Just as I am, without one plea. Isn't that powerful?
Yes.
Now, I didn't get through a lot of verses today. I just thought that it was a good verse.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. I just liked it. I liked it a lot.
Amen.
You don't know this. There's no way you could know it. But when I wake up every day, like this morning, God speaks to me. He actually talks to me. I hear him. And it's over. And he told me a whole bunch of things that I'm not telling you, just one little thing. But it's just so clear to me. It's like, why give seven messages? I have a lot of messages. But why give them? If God only says one thing, just say one thing. So I said it. Here's the good news. that there is no bad news. That's good news. God likes you. God loves you unconditionally. Mm-hmm. God wants you to enter his rest. If you build the house, you did foolish. You should never have built the Tower of Babel. Cynthia, don't build the Tower of Babel. No. Let Raul do that. He knows how to build those Towers of Babel. But I tell you what, God built his own house, and you're in it. Anybody who wants to. Anyone who wants to, go in. You don't have to know anything or do anything or be anything. Just if you're alive, you can just say, yeah, I want that. That's what I want. You don't have to say, I'm trying to get some faith. Faith is just a response to a promise. But I know everybody who says that, they actually are thinking of keeping a law. There's no law to keep. It's been kept. Jesus kept it. That's in the will. That's in the testament. That's in the covenant. That's been confirmed. That's a solemn oath now, sworn by God. And it's kept. He's already confirmed it. And there's more to it even than what you know. It's even better than just forgiving you for all your sins. He also promised to be your Lord and take away. As he has the power. Power. Mercy plus power. But not only that. Plus love affair. I like that part too. Did you know that the goodness of God is that he's merciful? But it's more than that. He's also powerful. But it's more than that. He also wants to marry you and give you an inheritance and so on. It's just too, I can't even think of how good it is. No man can even imagine how good this good news is.
That's right.
And I have never heard or read any other minister that has said it as clearly and as simply as I just said it. Even though they won't disagree with it. I don't believe they're living it in the way I am. You can't catch me off guard. This thing is too good to be true. But it is true. And you can't fancy it up because you might skip a few things. No, I don't like that. I don't like that. And so I believe this good news is the case. And you know what? God would have to confirm it. So don't take my word for it. You'd have to confirm it. Not by what you read in the book. I know what the writing says. But a confirmation is more than just what the writing says. It's more than just a promise given. It's actually God personally speaking to you individually. To your heart. Touching you and saying, this is good news. I'm taking it. Did anybody take it today?
Yeah.
Roxy?
Yeah.
You took it? That's powerful. It's sweet. It's too good. It's like heaven on earth. No, it's not like. It is. That's heaven on earth. When you get a hold of his word, it's heaven on earth. I mean, suddenly the whole world is different. The whole world looks different when you look at life through God's wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is what?
Fear the Lord.
The fear of the Lord. What's the end of wisdom?
The love of the Lord.
How'd you know that? That's awesome. So the fear of the Lord is good. But that usually means keeping his law. But here, that's only the beginning. You start with the law, and then you realize you're not very good. Have you learned that already? That you're not as good as you wanted to be? Yeah. See, that doesn't take a lot to learn that. I don't know if Jacob has learned that yet. I hope so. Hope he's realized he's not perfect. Probably has, yeah. That's good. Have you all learned that?
Yeah.
You're not as good as you think.
Amen.
You're not as good. You're not. Your behavior belies you. Your behavior, it kind of gives you the lie to the fact that you are a good person, basically. You're not. You are basically worthless in the sight of God. You have no worth, no value whatsoever, other than the value he gives you. By even talking to you. Do you know that God, just to talk to you, gives hope? Even if he punishes you, it's still hope. He wouldn't punish you unless he loved you. He never punished anybody that he didn't love. Did you hear me? Now, people punish themselves, but God didn't. People punish themselves, but God didn't. God has never punished you. He's never been mad at you. He's never been unhappy with you. I need thee every hour, nanosecond. I need God all the time. All the time. I don't have to worry about it. He loves me. He loves me even before I acknowledge him. While we were yet sinners, he loved us. Perfect love, his. Perfect love, his, not yours. Perfect love, his, not yours. Cast out all fear. Not from him, from you. You don't have any fear now. Everything is going your way. Zippity-doo-da, zippity-a. My, oh, my. What, could anybody say that? This is a wonderful day.
It's a wonderful day.
It is.
Yes.
It is, because God said it is. You didn't have to see it to believe it. You just believe it. Now, you can't make yourself, but if you do, you do. I believe everything's going my way. I believe everything is not going the way of somebody else. It's just God likes me. Done.
Yeah.
That finishes right there. I don't care if everybody else is stepping differently. I'm stepping right.
Amen.
Now, how many here are oddballs? You know, you're just kind of weird. Different. You know, not fitting in exact. And you're not happy all the time either. Okay, it's okay. Jesus loves you.
Amen.
He covers you. He sees you. He knows you. He likes you. He can't change his mind. He's confirmed that. And now he will reconfirm and confirm again and again and again. And nobody's ever found God not to be true. He is true. Every man is a liar, but God is true. A covenant once made cannot be annulled. You see, God's so perfect that when he makes something, it's perfect. So he can't go, oh, change my mind. He can't change his mind.
Yeah.
God cannot repent. Oh, of the law? Yeah, he repents of that. Meaning, your misunderstanding of it. Because the law is not the letter of the law that killeth, but the spirit of the law which giveth life, which is the gospel. So God's law is his gospel. In other words, to obey the law is actually to obey the gospel. Don't do anything. Let God do everything and just take it and enjoy it. Now you just obeyed God. The way you did that is do nothing. Let him do everything. You do nothing. That's too good to be true. But in Dallas, Texas today, we got it.
Amen.
Okay, who'd like to testify?
Hallelujah.
Pastor, I got it.
I got it.
God gave it to me and I'm
every
keeping it.
Day, I'll still get it.
You were baptized.
I know.
You were baptized last Sunday. Was it last Sunday?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's powerful. Water baptized. You're ready to be spirit baptized.
Amen.
Now. Yeah.
Amen.
With fire.
Amen.
Burn up the dross. Give you joy forever.
Amen.
Do you deserve it?
No.
No. But do you enjoy it?
Yes.
Yeah. That's it. It's fun to get somebody else's toys that you didn't, you know, they're not even yours, but you get to play with them.
Yes.
Are you all playing with everybody else's toys?
Amen.
We get everything. Did you know the meek are going to inherit the earth?
Amen.
And so just because of what God hath said, you're free forever. If he hadn't said it, if it wasn't in the will, if it wasn't in the covenant, in the testimony, you couldn't. But nobody can change it now. You've been sealed with the Holy Ghost. You've been sealed. So nobody can open it up and change anything. I don't care what the man does. Man can do anything. He builds as many babbles as he wants to. Not going to change a thing. Once God says he loves you, you'll live forever.
Amen.
Forever. 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 Actually, the Bible says forever and ever. In other words, in this world and in the next. And ever. And a million eons from now on, you'll still be loved by God. And you'll still be pure. That covenant's been confirmed. Jesus' blood sealed it forever. And to prove it, he gave you the Holy Ghost. Woohoo! Now it can't be changed. Can't be changed. I love this good news. Please, somebody else say, I love this good news.
I love this good news.
It's good. It's too powerful.
Awesome.
It's too powerful. Judy, this is good news. It can't change. Because God can't change. This is a rock that can't be moved. This is not shifting sand. You build something on sand and it shifts overnight, like in Dallas here. Some of the dirt in this town shifts. And all of a sudden you got cracks over your windows and doors and stuff because it got wet and then it got dry and then it got wet and, you know, now it's a mess. And people have to constantly repair their houses, even rich ones, unless they dig 20-foot down pylons, you know, and put them on big bases down there. Because the soil's kind of deep, so you have to go down to bedrock. Well, our life is built on bedrock.
Amen.
Jesus is the rock of our salvation. He's the cornerstone. He's the one that holds the whole thing together. And Jesus, the cornerstone, is the first fruits, risen from the dead. You're the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. So if the first fruits is pure, you'll be pure. You are pure because you're Jesus' fruit. You're Jesus' fruit. He's the tree. You're the fruit. You're the house. You're the building. God is building you. Woo!
Hallelujah.